Hello, everybody. Today's passage will be from 1 Samuel chapter 30. Again, that is 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I'll read this passage for us. Now, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against the Negev and against Ziklag. They had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one, but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives also had been taken captive, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, "Bring me the ephod." So Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them?" He answered him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue." So David set out, and the 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook Besor, where those who were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men. 200 stayed behind, who were too exhausted to cross the brook Besor. They found an Egyptian in the open country and brought him to David, and they gave him bread and he ate. They gave him water to drink, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit revived, for he had not eaten bread or drunk water for 3 days and three nights. And David said to him, "To whom do you belong, and where are you from?" He said, "I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because I fell sick 3 days ago. We had made a raid against the Negev of the Cherethites, and against that which belongs to Judah, and against the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." And David said to him, "Will you take me down to this band?" And he said, "Swear to me by God that you will not kill me or deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this band." And when he had taken him down, behold, they were spread abroad over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. And David struck them down from twilight until the evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who mounted camels and fled. David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken, and David rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that had been taken. David brought back all. David also captured all the flocks and herds, and the people drove the livestock before him and said, "This is David's spoil." Then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow David, and who had been left at the brook Besor. And they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near to the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless fellows among the men who had gone with David said, "Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except that each man may lead away his wife and children and depart." But David said, "You shall not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us. He has preserved us and given into our hand the band that came against us. Who would listen to you in this matter? For as his share is who goes down into the battle, so shall his share be who stays by the baggage. They shall share alike." And he made it a statute and a rule for Israel from that day forward to this day. When David came to Ziklag, he sent part of the spoil to his friends, the elders of Judah, saying, "Here is a present for you, from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord." It was for those in Bethel, in Ramoth of the Negev, in Jatir, in Aroer, in Siphmoth, in Estemoah, in Rakal, in the cities of the Jerahmeelites, in the cities of the Kenites, in Hormah, in Bor Ashan, in Atak, in Hebron, for all the places where David and his men had roamed. It's quite a long passage, but throughout the past couple of chapters in 1 Samuel, we were able to journey with David in his life. A lot has happened to David so far. We've seen David defeating Goliath and amassing many victories as a general under King Saul, but then also being hunted down by King Saul many times, fleeing Israel in search of safety, surviving in the wilderness, trying to join the Philistines, being abandoned by friend and foe alike. And in this way, David is clearly going through a very rough time in his life, to say the least. And now we read in this chapter that even more turmoil has come upon him. When David returns to Ziklag after being rejected by the Philistine commanders in the previous chapter, David comes home to see the city burned down and his family and possessions taken away from him by the Amalekites who had raided Ziklag while David and his men were away. Verse 4 says that David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. And amidst this mourning, the people that David was with even spoke of stoning David in their bitterness. At this point, David is at the lowest of lows. Everything in his life had been taken away from him. His home in Israel, his home in Ziklag, all his possessions, his family, the Philistines had turned away from him, and now even some of his own people are turning their backs against him. There was absolutely nothing left for David to hold on to, that is, except God. And in this dire moment of great need, it says in verse 6 that David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. After years of running away from danger, being turned away by people, kind of unsure what to do, David is now finally able to say that God is his only strength. And now that David's feet are set on the foundation of the Lord, he springs into action. In verse 8, David asks God what he should do regarding what had happened with the raid of the Amalekites. And God answers David by saying, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue." God's response to David shows that despite David not having been obedient to God for some time, God shows him deep compassion and grace. As soon as David turns back to God, God is immediately ready to bless David again by ensuring the rescue of his family from the Amalekites. When David and his men come across the Amalekites, they have a complete and total victory over them, just as God promised. They're able to rescue all the families that were taken captive, and they regain all of their old possessions. In verse 20, it says that David also captured all the flocks and herds, and the people drove the livestock before him and said, "This is David's spoil." Not only did David and his men retrieve everything they had lost, but they also gained even more than what they once had. Now, before this battle took place, a portion of David's men stayed behind to watch over the supplies. And when David and his men regrouped with this group after the battle, some of the men who went to the battle said that those who stayed behind shouldn't receive any of the spoils of that battle. But David quickly and firmly rebuts these men and says in verse 23, "You shall not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us," explaining that these spoils do not belong to them, but they belong to God, and so should be distributed among everyone. In the last section of this chapter, we see David sending gifts from his spoil to his friends, elders of Judah, the home that he deserted. And he begins to make amends with them. This chapter is such a stark contrast to what's been going on in David's life in the previous few chapters. As David strayed further from God, we see his life spiral into confusion and dismay. But in this chapter, as soon as he places his trust back in God, we see God immediately pour out his grace and mercy to restore him. Maybe some of us today feel in some way similar to what David had been experiencing in his times of confusion and his times of turmoil, seemingly far away from God. When we encounter seasons like this, we might also begin to think to ourselves that we've strayed an irredeemable distance from God that is impossible to overcome. But what we see in today's passage is that God was actually right alongside David this whole time. As soon as David began to trust in God again, God immediately pours out his mercy in deep compassion for David. He is quick to forgive and mighty to save us, even in insurmountable circumstances. So let's take some time today to thank God for this kind of endless mercy that awaits us when we trust him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your mercies. No matter how far we think we've strayed, and no matter what kind of situation we are in, you are a God who can redeem all of these things. Just as David was able to recognize that you were the only steadfast foundation he could grip onto, I pray that we too would have this kind of complete trust in you. And Lord, I pray that this trust wouldn't stop merely at our words, but it would spring forth in the form of action, just as David obeyed what you commanded him to do. Holy Spirit, we ask that you stir in our hearts the things that you might call us to obey, specifically in the context of our lives. And in this obedience, won't you be glorified? Lord, may we find strength in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.